the love that the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
I'm stepping on toes this morning. It is given unto me to step on toes. Do you expect me to make an apology?
No.
I will not apologize.
Praise the Lord.
Give me the story of Adam, the first man, Genesis, when he was made. Hallelujah. Do you remember when it was made? Chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And 26 said, and they were both naked. Everybody's naked. The man and his wife, and we're not ashamed. Praise the Lord. Now, as a carnal man, when you read this scripture, you will assume that nakedness, like I used to normally see it, painted in many art galleries, is a man and woman that are actually naked. Do you understand? But that's not true. In the book of Psalm 8, the prophet was speaking. He said, can we go to Psalm 8? Can we? Yes. O Lord our God, how excellent and majestic and glorious is your name. That's amplified. Which one are you doing? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings that are their strength because of their enemies, that thou might steal the enemy and the avenger. 3. When I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which thou art ordained. Verse 4. What is man, that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? Verse 5 is my emphasis. For thou art made him a little lower than who? The angels. The Hebrew word angels is not angelos. That's Greek. But it's not angels. It means Elohim. You made him a little lower than Elohim. Praise God. But it now says this, but thou crowned him with glory and honor. Now the word crown there, it's not crowned as you put a crown on a man's head. It means you encompassed him with glory. Do you follow me? It means you protected him with glory. In other words, they were not naked in the natural. They were actually clothed with glory. Do I make myself clear? So if you were to have met them, you would not see their natural nakedness. You would not have seen their nakedness. They were naked because they were innocent before God. Hallelujah. Am I making sense? You are wondering where I'm going this morning. Because I've told you ahead of time that I'm going to offend you. Praise the Lord. If you have no skeleton in your cupboard, you need no fear. Praise God. It was covered with glory. It was covered with honor. And the first thing that happened to him when they sinned, the Bible says they discovered that they were naked. Does that not sound contradictory? Because if the Bible says they were naked, and they later found that they were naked, is it that they were idiots? I mean, can you be naked and not know you were naked? Do you understand me? That means they were not really naked in the natural sense of nakedness. But immediately they see, the first thing that sin took away from Adam was their covering. It stripped them of their covering. That is what sin has always done for people. When a man's mind is wrapped and altered with sin, you will find him or her wearing tattered jeans, tattered shirt, and they call it fashion. Am I talking? Does it make sense? When a man in his natural mind is wearing clothes that mad people wear, and they call it fashion, and you as a believer think it's okay. No, it's not okay. The prince of this world is making statements that you must pay attention to. The Bible told us that they were naked. And the next thing they did for themselves was to sew for themselves clothes of figs. They cut figs and they sewed. Where they got the intelligence of sewing beats my imagination. But that's not the issue today. Praise God. They sewed it all the same and covered their nakedness. And I wonder how long that was going to last. It was not meant to last. Praise God. So we see the consequence of the fall. That number one, it took away our covering. Number two, we entered and we fell into what we call self-help. Praise God. Now, understand this. By natural default, it is without anyone teaching them, they knew that they needed to cover themselves. Now, it is wrong. It is mad. It is lunatic for you to make it your default position to uncover yourself publicly. It's not natural. Because if we saw Adam reacting to the situation to cover himself, then if anything is making you to uncover yourself, something is wrong. They sew fig tree, fig leaves, to cover their nakedness. And when God came, God did not like what they sowed. Even though they had sinned, but what they sowed for a covering was not satisfactory to God. And so what did the Bible tell us about that God had to do for them? He had to, the first fashion designer was actually Adam. Praise God. Amen. And God said, this is not fashion. Let me give you my own fashion. What did he use for his own fashion dress? Animal clothing. Have you ever, Lumri, can you sew for us garments of pala, pomo, dry pomo as jacket? Can you do that? Your anointing has not reached anywhere. Elijah wore that kind of jacket everywhere he went. I don't know who sewed it for him. But I can tell you, it was not comfortable, to say the least. It was not comfortable. That was what God provided for them. So when God gives you instruction, it does not have to be convenient. That is what many of us don't understand. It is not, see, God is not interested in your convenience. He's interested in your obedience. Can you wear that kind of dressing that Elijah wore? Will he not rebel? But it was a statement God was making to Israel. Praise God. And so we find out that God is interested in people covering their nakedness. Now if you run through the whole Bible, when we come into the place when Israel was coming out of Egypt, God began to give them specific instructions about dressing. Now if God is not interested in your dressing, he will not have given specific instructions. And so much so that he gave instructions how the priest should be guarded. Regarded. KJV English. Praise God. And he warned them that you don't build an altar on an elevated position. Do you know why that is so? Do you have an idea? Because when you climb the staircase and those who are under and they look under your dress, they will see your nakedness. And God said, don't do that. Now, if God is concerned about nakedness, why is it that in the church people are so complacent? I don't know the preachers that have preached to you, but listen to me. The word of God is true and is yea and amen. Hallelujah. You have no right, again I repeat, you have no right to go about displaying your nakedness. Whether you are a young man or you are a lady, you have no absolute, no right at all. Hallelujah. You come to church, you don't sit properly. The days are gone. I will publicly embarrass you. These are things that you should have been taught at home. How to sit. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Am I talking? Am I old school? No, I'm just old Bible. I'm just following Bible. I'm not old school. We gain nothing by exposing ourselves. Rather, you spoke about offense. You are creating it. Look, the way God wired humanity is different.
especially the man. The man is wired for size. That is why most of the problems come from the women. It has always been like that. From it was said that just Eve that gave. Somebody said this, very interesting, but don't quote me, praise God. Then when God created the heavens and earth, God rested. But since they created woman, God and man have not rested. It's not me that said it too. Glory to God. I didn't see it. I just had it somewhere. I'm just restoring it.
But it doesn't have to be so. Why is that every advert you must see a naked woman? It's still the same technology Satan uses in the garden I see using today. Why must women be debased? Why must they become sexual objects? What is wrong with us? Why do we want to be like them that are not sensible? The problem with Israel, let me tell you, the problem Israel has always had is that Israel wanted to be like other nations. Why must you be like them? When God said, watch the way you dress, it was very clear, because that was the way the Edens were dressing.
Today now, the difference between a man and a woman is blowing. There's no... I went to Senate Building in school. I was coming back, and I saw somebody that I didn't. The way she, her haircut, her dressing, and everything, I thought it was a boy. I and my staff thought it was a boy. Just once he got close and turned around and looked at her face, I thought, this boy is a girl. He is a she. I thought I was only the woman, my friend, the officer, I just thought he was a man. So I thought, maybe it was my eyes that was deceiving. So both of us were deceived. God said you should not. You see, distinction between a man and a woman was clearly spelled in the Bible. Don't wear what belongs to a man. Don't wear what belongs to a woman. Don't cause confusion. Praise the Lord. Now, I have spoken this much about the natural. Even in the natural, the kinds of dresses you wear tells us the kind of class or the kind of persons you are. Now, in Proverbs, they spoke about attires about Proverbs 5:6. It speaks about the attire of an aloth. That means when they see this kind of attire, they know this person is an aloth. Am I making sense? Now, when you come into the camp, in the Old Testament, you are just an ordinary person. But when a priest is to enter and minister, he should put off his ordinary garments and put on the garments of a priest so that there will be no confusion. Do you understand me? So in a way, your natural, your physical dressing tells us the kind of person of the class to which you belong to. Praise God. Now, remember the story of Joseph. Do you remember the story of Joseph? The Bible says his father loved him so much, and his father sold for him this beautiful garment of many colors. That garment distinguished him immediately. Distinguished him from others. And you know the interesting thing? The first thing that they took from him when his brothers were going to sell him into slavery was that garment. Am I talking to you? When you come under spiritual attack, the first thing Satan will go for is your garment. Do you know why they strip a thief of his clothing? You don't understand? When you catch a thief, the first thing they will do to a thief, apart from beating him and other things, that they will strip him of his garments. So you understand why Jesus was stripped of his garments. How they took his garments away from him. Every time they take your garments away from you, it is a call to dishonor. Why will you use your hand to dishonor yourself? It's a serious matter. Satan is after your garments. Satan wants to strip you naked. Satan wants to expose you. Satan wants to dishonor you. And you should not work in such order and allow him to get away with it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Joshua chapter 7 verse 20 spoke to us
about a man called Achan. Achan, you know the story of a man called Achan. 7:20. Can you give that to say? And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord, God of Israel, and thus have I done. Verse 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment. The first thing that caught his attention was what? Garments. What he wore was not okay for him. We spoke here this morning about temptations and all that. It was what is his heart. He didn't like the garments he was wearing. Remember the garments that these guys wore, they wore it from when they were babies. Do you remember? When they were coming out of Egypt, they closed the wall when they were babies, because Achan was a baby when they came out of Egypt. Do you follow me? It was what? It was a baby. The Bible says they grew with that clothes until he had come into the place when he was a fighting soul, was a soldier for Israel. Hallelujah. But he did not like the garments that he had. He was interested in wearing the Babylonish garments. We have a problem, church. He also craved 200 shekels of silver and the wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Do you remember that when they left Egypt, they left with gold, silver, and all those things? Remember. Why did they still need more? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not where? It's not in him. You can come to church, but if your heart is not with the Lord, you know. You can argue to tomorrow, but the Lord is not food. Praise the Lord. He loved the goodly Babylonish garment. Many of you love Babylonish garments. I watch you and I wonder, do you know what you are doing? There is Babylonish garments. And many love Babylonish garments. So when Peter was writing, when Paul was writing, he was alluding to this kind of garments. Your garment speaks of your status, either in the natural or in the spiritual. So when you come to church and you're coming with Babylonish garments, and you're still saying that you're a child of Zion, shouldn't they ask you, what exactly are you saying? Many of us have become spiritual hermaphrodites. You're a Zionist and you're also a Gentile. Praise God. Is that hermaphrodite? You're an hybrid. Benten. I've taken on the nature of Benten. So when the angels come, they don't know whether you're a believer or you're a sinner. Demons come to, they see you. This is half Christian, half Muslim. Be careful. Put away this Babylonish, because it created a problem for Israel when they were coming out. Do you remember the day when Israel, the Bible says Moses was long in coming back. He had gone to receive the stones from the stones of the commandments from God, and he stayed for 40 days. They did not see him, and so they came to meet brother, what's that brother, Aaron. Well, we don't know what happened to your brother Moses. So we don't know what happened to him. Okay, make us gods. And the Bible says he made them gods, molten the golden calf. And the Bible says they rose to play. And when Moses came into the camp, they found that the whole Israel was naked. You understand me? The gods of this world will make you naked. There's no way you can follow them that you will not become naked. That is the nature of their worship. So when you stand and say, I'm a Christian, I'm not polythetic, you are a follower of Satan because of the way you are handling the issue of your nakedness. Satan is stripping you and you don't understand it. They were naked. Now, the nakedness could be two. It could be the physical nakedness. It could be also the spiritual. Because the Bible alluded to that. I said they rose up and Israel was naked before their enemies. It happened in the days of Baal and in the days of Balaam. They were naked also. Nakedness means that there is no protection. Nothing covers you. Now, let me run through
Now, there is another kind of clothing, because there are two kinds of persons that exist. There's a natural you and there's a spiritual you. In the spiritual you, there's another kind of clothing that you put on. The Bible calls about people put on pride as a garment. Have you heard that terminology before? They put on pride. Humility is also a garment. Now, in the natural, what you see is your attitude. But in the spiritual, it's actually a garment that covers you. And when spirits see, they recognize it. So garments have definitions. It speaks about the kind of person you are. Do you understand me? When you're, and it's not just pride, it's not just humility, it could be anything. That is what spirits will see. That is what marks you out from other things. Praise the Lord. Somebody said in Malachi 2:16. Let's look at Malachi 2:16, then I'll move on, because I don't have too much time. Malachi 2:16. Look at what it says there. For the Lord, the God of Israel, said that he hated putting away, for one covered violence with his garments. Here the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take it to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. When a man does not take his heed to his spirit, he will deal treacherously. And what the Bible says, that is the same thing as a man when he puts on violence as a garment. You may not be breaking bottles, but as far as they are concerned in the spirit realm, you are a violent person. You are violent. You are like Cain. You know Cain? Do you know Cain? Do you know Cain? Have you forgotten brother Cain? Cain was a brother until he murdered his other brother. It was spirit of violence. Praise God. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1 to 5. See why garments are important. Garments are important. Are you there, Malachi? So, is it Malachi? So, Zechariah. I said Zechariah. Okay. Bless you. You are still in Malachi here. And he showed me who? Joshua, the high priest, before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to do what? To reason. Why will Satan stand at Joshua's right hand? Satan had no business with the high priest of God. Do you remember that Zechariah himself in the New Testament, the father of John the Baptist, was in the temple ministry, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him on the right side? You don't understand the place of the right side. What drew them is, see, garments draw spirits. Am I making sense to you? Garments draw spirits. The kind of garments we put on draw spirits. This man drew Satan. The next verse says this, and the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Verse 3, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. The high priest was not supposed to be clothed with filthy garments, but Joshua was. What dated him? All kinds of compromises. All kinds of disobediences. Is there any word, English like disobediences? That is biblical English now. Hallelujah. Do you follow me? That was what caused him to be dated. That was what caused him to not to be bold. That was what attracted Lucifer to stand beside him. He was standing there, dirty. His garments were dirty. And what did the angel say? And the angel said, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, say, take away the filthy garments. There is no way you can stand before God in filthy garments. It will not work. It doesn't work. Even in spiritual warfare, the first thing that demons will respond to is the garments you are wearing. Once they notice you are wearing the wrong garments, demons will resist you. They will know that this is a rebel. When those some people saw Stephen came, they were looking at the guy and said, Paul, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? Because the garments, they didn't put, I don't even think those guys had garments. They were not, we had no garments because we realized that when the guy pounced on them, he stripped what they wore and stripped them naked. So that what was in the spirit needed to be implemented in the physical. So what kind of garments are you wearing? Take away the garments from him. And so the Bible says, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Every time a man comes to God, the first thing God will do for you is to change your raiment. He will change your garments. He will change your name. He will change your garments. What happened to the prodigal son? When the young man came back to his father, and his father fell upon him, what did the father say? He said, remove his clothes and put new clothes on him. And you tell me that clothes don't matter. Are you kidding me? Are you for real? I've caused the iniquity to pass away. I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Hallelujah. Let's go to Revelation 3. Let's take from verse 14. The church of Laodicea was another set of people we need to look at. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing saith the Amen. Now, the person speaking now is called the Amen. Praise God. The faithful and the true witness. The beginning of all the creation of God. Hallelujah. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot, neither cold nor hot. My own translation says, I would rather have it that you are cold or hot. That's the reason why I don't like, if you're going to give me tea, give me hot tea. If you're going to give me tea or give me cold tea, don't give me lukewarm tea. Praise the Lord. This is where I got this revelation from. Hallelujah. Amen. Continue. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know why Jesus will spew people like that out of his mouth? Because he doesn't know what to do with them. He necessarily does not know. That is Jesus, the Son of God. He who rose from the dead, having all power, said he doesn't know what he will do with you. Because you are not cold, you are not hot. If you are hot, he knows what to do with you. If you are cold, he knows what to do with you. But in between, you are an hybrid, you are bent-end. It's confused. And I believe that is also true with demons. They are also confused, but they like it that way. Because they are authors of confusion. Hallelujah. May God not spew us out of his mouth. So make up your mind. Are you going to be cold? Are you going to be hot? Make up your mind. This one, Elijah said, look, this one that you are dilly-dally, if God be God, let us follow him. If God is God, let us follow him. This one, today you come to, you will come to church. On Friday, you go to mosque. In the evening, you go to Babalawo. Who is God? Choose. Because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, or cold or hot, whichever one, I'll put that out of my mouth. Next verse, 17. Because thou seest. Now this is why they were lukewarm. It was what they were saying. Their attitude began to speak in heaven. Am I making sense to you? I am rich and increaseth with goods, prosperity. I have need of nothing. Look, the best prosperity is when you have need of nothing. Glory to God. Have you ever desired to be in need of nothing? For example, I want to eat lunch. Hallelujah. I just finished church and I just drive to the airport. And I'm landing in London for lunch. Hallelujah. And I take lunch and I'm back in the evening. Am I not blessed? Thank you. But you will call me blessed. Is that not true? See yourself. They need to recalibrate you. The Bible says envy not the sinner. Because the sinner has gone to a place where he does not need God. He doesn't need God. The Bible says money is a defense. So also is righteousness. So also is wisdom. They are all defenses. But the good thing about money is that he answers all things. But the difference is that in the day of death, money will deliver you. Praise God. Because
and you doeth not that thou art wretched. Now, when you see the Laodicean church, that is the epitome of prosperity. But God's judgment is that they are wretched. Is that they are miserable. And is that they are poor. Is that they are blind. Is that they are what? Naked. Are you seeing nakedness coming up again? All tied to the wrong things. And here is cancer. 18. Here Jesus is cancer. I counsel thee to buy of me what? Gold. Tried in the fire. That thou mayest be what? Rich. You know what they call gold in fire? Trials. What we are talking about. The trial of Job. Jesus can say, pray that I may give you trials. Praise God. So that your... Peter said, seeing that your faith more precious than gold. That's what Jesus can say, pray for. So that I can make that your faith solid. Beautiful. White raiment, that thou mayest be what? Clothed. And that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Clothing is coming up again. Every child of God, on the day of his new birth, is clothed in white linen in the spiritual realm. Sin removes it. Do you follow me? Do you understand me? The Laodicean church were believers. They were children of God. They were born again. They were Holy Ghost filled. They probably they had wisdom. They were dead with glory. But the Bible says before the throne they were naked. So I want to ask you, whose judgment do you prefer? Is it the judgment of men or God's judgment? Listen to me. All the people ailing you now and say, slay mama, will one day stand and say, why like Allah, I know her not. Because every man will answer for himself. Be slain. They will soon slay you. Am I communicating? Revelation 19, verse 8. I'm drawing to a close. And to her, the church, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. This is what heaven says you should go for. This is what Peter and Paul were trying to say, that let not your attire and your dressing be that of the outward appearance. That is not beauty as far as heaven is concerned. I don't like this Christianity. I don't like this issue. Me, I'm a fine girl. Hey, me, I'm an husband. You will cross over to eternity one day. Then we'll know whether you are fine or you are not fine. I think if it's possible, Pastor, I think we should do an excursion. You carry everybody there to the mortuary. So I go and look at fine girls and fine boys. They are there. The end of all men is kept there. I was talking to my friend. I said, people ask, why do pastors die? How are pastors dying? Did they tell you that pastors are exempted from death? I didn't know men. Some of us believe that we have entered immortality. No wahala. When death comes, we know that we don't have immortality yet. No one thing that we all will stand before that throne to give an account. You can't stand before that throne naked. Your case is finished. There's no appeal court. There's no, I am sorry, Lord. You know the time I was talking in church some few weeks ago, I kept hammering that the young die. There's no amen. This past few weeks I was talking about it. Remember, I did not know I was going to strike my own cousin. Pretty girl, 42, passed away.
unprepared. You never knew. I did not know. I did not hear. It was the morning she died that I saw it on WhatsApp that they said she had passed away. I didn't know it was. And I said, that season appears to have passed. But listen to me again. You are not too old to die. Or you are not too young to die. Some of you think that life will continue like this. It's not always true. My desire for all of us is that God will preserve you all in the name of Jesus. But don't take it for granted. See, my pastor has said it, I'm okay. Your pastor is not Jehovah. And I'm not God's PA. No, it's PA that knows what the master is doing. Hallelujah. It's not everything that is in this itinerary that I know. Do you follow me? Organize yourself. Be organized. Are you hear what I'm saying? Prepare as a man going for a journey. Live as it were that this is your last day. You know, nobody has tomorrow as a guarantee. The battle today. What did I say? It's the day of salvation. He didn't say tomorrow. But you see, we are young and reckless. Thinking about death can paralyze you with fear. That is true. Praise God. But the Bible says that the heart of the wise man is in the place of money. Not the place of party. All of you that like go to party, you want to be party. Try and go to the where they also do burial too. And go and look at the dead man that is in the casket. That man once shook the earth. He made things happen. But he's there. Pastor told me of a man that they buried with his oma. Unbearable oma. He would drive oma in hell. Vanity of vanities. Can I bring this to a conclusion? Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. Paul began to speak. Now, can I bring this to a conclusion? Please, before I go there, Matthew 22. The story of the marriage supper. Do you remember the story of the marriage supper? You don't know. Matthew 22, verses 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they will not come. Now, this is a parable to the Jews. Do you understand? He's speaking about the Jews. The first invitation to God's marriage supper went to the Jews, but they did not come. Continue. And he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. Verse 7. But when the king heard, therefore, he was wroth, and sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. Verse 9. Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. And those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Praise God. Have you ever gone to town on Wednesday and you saw people dressed for marriage? Have you seen them before? Do people normally wear wedding garments on Wednesday or Monday? So you realize that these people were not ready. They went to the highways. They looked back at them. They went to the highways and the edges. That means the korokro in town. Do you follow me? The Ijoka. You know Ijoka or Daru. All those places that are inside Akure. They went there to bring people. Hallelujah. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. Excuse me. Did they tell them beforehand that there was going to be a wedding? No. They gathered them. Yeah? The king said, hola, hermano. Praise God. So where did the others get wedding garments? Now, we are not told, but I presume, or I want to assume, that they made wedding garments available to them when they were entering. But this man refused to either wear his own, praise God, or he did great crash. He jumped through the fence. Praise God. Have you been to programs, wedding programs, burial programs, reception? I was told of a person who comes, once he hears that there is a program, reception, he, his wife, and children are going. And they have nylon bag. So when you are preparing for your wedding reception, please, when you have invited 50 people, prepare for an additional 100. Yeah, you're laughing. Your tongue will come. Just make sure that I have my own food. There will be a problem. But if I do it, and the pastor does it, there will be a problem. I will come to church on Sunday and say, some people, they called us for wedding. Glory to God. He had no wedding garment. Now, naturally speaking, should it have been his fault that he had no wedding garment? The king took offense. He had no wedding garment. He was not appropriately dressed for the occasion. Praise God. And the Bible said, friend, how come thou in Ita? Not having a wedding garment. And he was speechless. Next verse. And then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him. Where? Where? You know where they call outside darkness in the spirit realm? The place for Lucifer and his angels. That is hellfire. So that a man is in church and is doing all the activities of the church does not mean he's going to make it. What gives you right to stay is, do you have the garments on? Am I talking? Do you understand me? Said there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So not all that called will be saved. You know why? Some will disregard the requirements for the calling. They will say, in any case, I can do it the way I like. No problem. Continue. For many are called. I now know why few are going to be chosen. Because we are living in a time when men are running their own agenda for themselves, by themselves, in themselves. If there's anything like that. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Ephesians. I want to round up on Ephesians, then we'll pray. Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24. Now, when Paul began to write this, he was alluding to what we were talking about, all that I've shared with you. Garments are important. He says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, is bringing forth and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and what? True holiness. Are you following me? The man is writing to the Ephesian church. We are talking about the Ephesians. The Ephesians were not on the same spiritual level with the Corinthian church. Do you get me? The Corinthian church was a church that operated in the supernatural power and the giftings of the Holy Ghost. Yet Paul said that they were babes. Amen. Now the prayer Paul prayed for the Corinthian church was not the prayer I pray for the Ephesian church. For the Ephesian church, he said, I pray that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened. Praise God. But he now told them, put off. That means there is a garment on you. Put it off. And he called it, that garment is called the old man. And put on the new garment called the new man that is renewed. Hallelujah. So when God comes into the banquet hall, he's going to be looking for the garments of the new man. It does not matter when you were born again. It does not matter who preached to you. It does not matter the church you attend. If he does not see the garment of the new man, that garment called that white linen, that garment of righteousness, they will bind you and cast you to outer darkness. That may not be our lot in Jesus' name. Some of us have dreams, and in your dream, you see you are naked. That could be a symptom of something wrong with your spiritual life. You can't, if you cover it, you're not helping yourself. When that happens, I believe God wants to draw your attention to something you need to look at. When Pastor was praying this morning about something exposing us to shame and dishonor and all that, that dream could be an indication that something is wrong with you. And you need to ask God and repent of it. Joshua needed to repent of his ways if they're going to change his garments. So I've spoken to us this morning about two major things: the way you dress in the natural and the way you dress in the spiritual. Two of them are important. Am I making sense? Jesus said something. He said, make clean the inside of the cup, then the outside will also be clean. God is interested in the inside being clean and the outside being clean. However, the idea is that you start from the inside, outside. Not outside, inside. But the important thing is that both must be clean. I want us to bow our heads and pray. Paul said, examine yourselves if you are in the faith, except you are reprobate. And I don't think anyone is here that is reprobate. Two things are spoken: your natural, because we see God interested in the natural. What kind of garments are you wearing? What kind of dressing do you wear? If your dressing is right, it's wrong, you need to change your wardrobe to align with your profession. The Laodiceans had wrong garments. They were self-righteous. Some have the garments of pride. Some have the garments of vow. Examine yourself. There is no need for pretense. What kind of garments do you have? Are you the type that wear Babylonish garments? Are you the type that likes exposing his body anyhow, even in your room, even in your lodge? I'm not speaking about church. As a general way of life, do you cover yourself? Are you conscious? Ask the Lord to forgive you and to cleanse you. You need a change. Such people that God cannot place, they call them strange children. I don't want you to be a strange child. I don't want to be a strange child. Lord, have mercy. Father, I thank you.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.